All right. 1 Thessalonians chapter number 2. Uh-uh. We're going to finish that up. And we didn't quite get finished with the last part there. And then we'll try to get into chapter 3. A lot of information in chapter 2. I had to quit where we were at because of that. 1 Thessalonians, most all of you, it looks like, you've been here before. You have either started out with us when we started 1 Thessalonians. But the Apostle Paul wrote this after he went to Corinth in chapter about number 18 or so. And then he writes back to the Thessalonians. And it would be almost like, if you just get this in your mind, it'd be like, I start this church, me and some other ministers that I'm trying to help bring along. And we start a church here in Millsfield. Bunch of people get saved and all of that kind of stuff. And we're meeting somewhere in somebody's living room because we don't have a building like this. Like, they didn't have a building, so they're meeting in somebody's living room. We get run out of town because we're preaching the gospel, and the mayor and all of them, the sheriff, they run us out of town. So we go to the next town. And so we're in, let's just say we're in St. Louis, and we're starting a church up there. And we're building a church. People are getting saved. And then I take a pen, a piece of paper, and write back to the church at Millsfield. I want y'all to know. I want you to stay encouraged. I know you're getting persecuted by the mayor and the city council and all of this. And they don't like what we're doing, and they're persecuting you. But just hang on. The Lord's coming. Stay strong. Stand fast. And that's what Paul's doing. He's writing back to the Thessalonians, a bunch of people that just got saved, new Christians in the Lord. And so he's writing a letter back to them, trying to encourage them. And this is where we stopped. I think it's verse number 13. We dealt with it, but I want to deal with it again in reference to the Bible, the Word of God, and things of that nature. Let me find it where I'm. Let me get my eyes on it here. All right. Verse number 13. For this cause also thank we God without ceasing, because when we received the word of God, which you heard of us, you received it not as the word of men. Not, you didn't receive it like we were talking. But as in truth, the word of God, you received what we said. The gospel, the grace of God, you received it like God said it, not us. And which effectually, with effect, in other words, that's what that word means, with effect, worketh also in you that believe. Here's something you got to understand, and I know y'all know this, but that Bible, I stress, read that Bible every day. Say, I don't understand it. Read it anyway. Because you're going to run across later on something that's going to explain something you did read that you didn't understand. You'll read something about 2 months later and you say, oh, and then you'll make the connection. Effectually, with effect, it has an effect on you. And so what Paul was doing, he says, what I'm preaching has an effect on you. And that's what he was talking about. Now, let's look at verse number 14, because I think this is where we stopped. In verse number 14. For ye, brethren, this talking to brethren, saved people, became followers of the churches of God. Notice churches is plural, of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, even as they have of the Jews. Now, a couple of things I want to mention right here in light of all of this. I'm trying to find. Let's see. Oh, there we go. I was getting a little confused there on where I was at on my notes. Okay. Here's something I want to show you. I think by now you should know that context always defines the meaning of a word in the Bible. When it says, churches, church. A lot of people. If you'd ask somebody at Walmart or the dollar store, what's a church? Well, they're going to point to a building that's got a steeple and all of that kind of stuff automatically. But in the Bible, that's not true. You're looking at the Thessalonians. They didn't have a building with a steeple. So Paul says, you are followers of the churches of God. By definition, the word church is a called out group that calls themselves out away from their homes, away from their jobs, away from whatever, and they come together as a corporate group. That's what y'all did tonight. You either left work, you either left home, you almost stopped by the Dairy Queen and didn't come to church, whatever it was, and you came on and you're called out from wherever you come from, and collectively we're meeting in here. Now, by definition, stay with me, by definition, the Kiwanis, the Rotary Club, by definition can be, the same definition can be used for them. Now, they don't call themselves a church. I got it. But they are a called out group that pulls away, what, once a week, they get together and they meet and they eat and all that kind of stuff. All right? So do the Mormons. They meet whenever they do. Not sure when they do. I guess on Sundays. Not sure that they call themselves out. Matter of fact, we got one down in Southtown. The Church of Jesus Christ, Latter-day Saints. That's the Mormon church. I think here in town, over there by, over by Abe's, we have the Seventh-day Adventist church. They're a called-out group. They don't meet on Sunday. They meet on Saturday, Sabbath day, Seventh-day Adventist. They meet on Saturday. They call out from their homes, and that is a church by definition. Now, I'm going somewhere. Stay with me. If we had a satanic church in Dyer County, God forbid that ever happened. There's some cities that do. But if we did, they're classified by definition as a church. But they're not in Christ Jesus. See the difference? Paul says, brethren, saved people, became followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now, so here we go. Y'all know this or should know this. When you got saved, according to 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one spirit are we all baptized into one body. One body. Christ has one body. Christ right now is seated in heavenly places at the right hand of God the Father. Christ is the head of the church. Ephesians 5. For he is, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he may present it a glorious church and without spot, without blemish, and so on and so forth. He is the head of the body. There's only one body of Christ. Stay with me. Only one body of Christ. How many body of Christ? One. How many churches do we have in Dyersburg? A bunch. See? Churches, this is not the denomination Church of God. These are churches, plural, all over Dyersburg. Every person that's saved, when you got saved, God baptized you, the Holy Spirit did, baptized you into the body. That's why Ephesians 2 says, I am seated in heavenly places in Christ. That's why the Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things passed away. Behold, all things become new. In Christ, the church, which is his body, not but one. Your job, after you get saved, is to find one of these down on this earth that looks the closest to him. Are these perfect? No. Is he? Yes. So your job is to find a church Not that has the best programs. Not that is closest to your house. Find one that's closest to the Bible. If you have to drive 50 miles, find one that is close to the Bible and that looks as much like Christ as possible. That's why I don't believe. You say, well, so-and-so, they're going over here. Well, at least they're going. I'd rather them stay home than to go to some churches. Boy, I didn't get any amens on that, okay? Well, at least they're going to church. Please stay home and watch football and don't listen to that non-Bible teaching. That's why we got so many confused people in the world. They go to any and every church. They think all of them are the same. They read the same Bible. And so we're going to go listen. All of them the same. Everybody's just trying to get to heaven their own way. No, friend, there ain't but one way to heaven. And that is Jesus Christ. Find you a local church down here that matches and looks as much like Christ as possible. Get in it and join it and serve and start working. Paul says to these Thessalonians, he said, hey, you are followers of the churches of God, which in Judea are in Christ Jesus. Now, here's the next phrase. For ye also have suffered like things of your own countrymen, Thessalonians, Gentiles, your own countrymen, Gentiles. You've had Gentiles persecute you. Not only them, even as they have of the Jews. You've had Gentiles persecute you. You've had Jews that persecuted you. Because for my name's sake and so on and so forth. Verse 15. After he says, as you have, they have of the Jews, who, Jews, both killed the Lord Jesus and their own prophets, Stephen being one, Acts 7, and have persecuted us, and they please not God and are contrary to all men. These people that were against the Thessalonians because they got saved. They run Paul and Silas and Timothy out of town because they were turning the world upside down. Acts 17. Watch what it does. But the Jews, which believe not, they're not believers, moved with envy, not good, looked unto them certain lewd fellows of a baser sort, and gathered a company and set all the city in an uproar and assaulted the house of Jason. That's where this church started. And then the house of Jason, and sought to bring them out to the people. And when they found them not, they drew Jason and certain brethren of the rulers of the city, crying, these that have turned the world upside down are come hither also. And they troubled the people and the rulers of the city when they heard these things. Verse 10 says, and the brethren immediately sent away Paul and Silas by night unto Berea, who coming thither went into the synagogues of the Jews. They were run out of town in Thessalonica. Yeah, they were persecuted. You say, can you prove it further? Yes, verse 13. But when the Jews of Thessalonica, the unbelieving Jews of Thessalonica heard or had knowledge that the word of God was preached by Paul at Berea, they got them a busload. They went to Berea and stirred up the people. You talking about, they were following Paul around, and everywhere he was trying to preach the gospel, they was disrupting the service and stirring up the people. That's what it said. Verse 16. Forbidding us, these Jews, they were forbidding us to speak to the Gentiles that they might be saved, to fill up their sins always, for the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. Now, this verse here, to fill up their sins always, we would say it like this. To fill up their sins all the way. Okay? That's what we would say. All the way. Paul says, fill up their sins all way. In other words, the Jews, all right, look at it this way. Look at it as an hourglass. God, the Jews, they crucified the Messiah. Watch this. Stay with me right here. They crucified the Messiah. Jesus cried on the cross, Father, forgive them. Forgive them, Jews. They don't know what they're doing. God answered that prayer. Started a time where all of the sand was on top, right? And all through Acts 1, 2, they didn't believe Peter's message in 2. 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, Stephen preached. And they rejected Stephen. Matter of fact, they stoned Stephen. 8, 9, Paul gets saved. 10, Cornelius gets saved. 11, 12, 13, so on and so forth. They're running Paul and Silas out of town, this, that, and the other. And so to fill up their sin all the way, as soon as all of that sand goes to bottom, the bottom has filled up and God says, all right, time out. You're done. That's when this thing shifts and goes completely to the Gentiles. Now, some people have used this verse and says, okay, look at there. God is through with the Jews. He'll never use them again, ever, ever again. That's not true. Romans 11, 25 and 26 and 27 tells you that at the Zion, when he shall appear, in Mount Zion, the Jews shall be saved and their sin shall be forgiven. Romans chapter 11. God will use them again. But right now they're in time out. Their sin has filled up all the way and God has stopped the clock running on the hourglass. Now, when the rapture takes place and the church leaves out of here, God will take that, turn it back over where the sand's on the top, and the time will start running again. You understand? You see that? That's why I explain. That's all I got. You say, how do you know that's true? Look at the next phrase. For the wrath is come upon them to the uttermost. The wrath, tribulation, time of Jacob's trouble, Jeremiah 30, about verse number 6 or so, the time of Jacob, Israel, Jacob, Jews, their sins are filled up all the way. And the wrath of God is come upon them to the uttermost. Verse 17, but we, brethren, we, not the Jews, but we, being taken from you for a short time in presence. In other words, hey, we just read it. We were there just a short time and we got run out of town. Okay? That's what he said. Being taken from you for a short time in presence, not in heart. Our heart is still there with you, Thessalonians. Our heart is still there with you. We had to leave in our presence. But our heart is still with you, endeavoring the more abundantly to see your face with great desire. Our desire is that we want to come back and see you. We want to. We had to leave. We run out of town. But our heart is still there with you. And our endeavor, what we are planning on doing, is coming back to see you, having a revival, maybe a Bible conference. We're going to do something. But our desire is to come back to see you. Verse 18, wherefore, we would have come unto you, even I, Paul, once and again, but Satan hindered us. Everywhere Paul went, Satan was hindering. Have y'all seen that so far in the book of Acts? Every town that he goes in, Satan shows up. And that's no different today. This is 2,000 years ago, same today. You let this church get on fire, people getting saved and all of this, and you'll start seeing the devil start looking for a door that's cracked so he can get his foot in. See who he can get all bent out of shape and tore up about something. I don't know of anything, but I'm saying, you know, and here he goes. He'll start and it just, here it'll go. You see people, the church start doing good. Well, don't think for a minute that when this church starts doing good and we start having over 100 average every Sunday and what was 110, 112 this past Sunday, and the devil just go roll over and say, Millsfield, y'all are doing a good job. Uh-uh. People think the devil is out in the bars and all of that. No, he's not. He's already got them. The devil is in churches. just make sure he ain't using you. He's got to use something. He has to have a vessel that he can use and work and maneuver and do his work. Boy, that'd be a good sermon on a Sunday. Boy, we wouldn't have 112. Satan hindered us. Matter of fact, the Bible says he's a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Bible calls him an adversary, the devil. Calls him the liar and the father of lies. Anyway, verse number 19. Paul says, for what is our hope or joy or crown of rejoicing? Are not even ye in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ at his coming? For ye, talking to the Thessalonians, ye are our plural, Paul, Timothy, Silas, our, you people that are saved, y'all are our glory and joy. We got to lead y'all to Christ. We got to preach the gospel to you. You responded in faith and believed the gospel, and that is our joy and our glory, our crown of rejoicing. Now, that brings me to this. This is the reason I could not finish this last week, because it gets us into something totally different. I know some of you have been over this before. If you want to write these down, let me give them to you. Well, first of all, hold your place. I'm coming back. Let me give you the verses. Y'all see this right here? I'm hoping that we're about right here. I'm hoping that's how close we are. At any moment, we could hear the trumpet sound. You say, preacher, how do you know? Look, do y'all remember when we talked and we were studying the book of Daniel? We studied the book of Daniel, those 10 toes on that image, the 10 toes, the 10 confederated nations over there in the Middle East. The 10 toes were the mixture of iron and clay. Iron mixed with clay. You say, what is that? You have never heard this talked about. I told you about that whenever it was, maybe however long it was when we studied Daniel. I told you. Remember, I had the images on the wall. The artificial intelligence. Remember that? And yes, some of you looked at me like I was a nut. And now, what are you seeing on television? Iron mixed with clay. Real people that are capable of doing what humans can do, but they're iron mixed with clay. Artificial intelligence. The 10 toes. You say, how do you know you're that close? I know we're that close. We're seeing stuff right now that they just tried to kill Putin. What was it, last night? Don't you think the bear of the north, Putin, don't you think he's a little upset right now? He's already threatening what? Nuclear response? And him and China got a picture with both of them cheesing, shaking hands for the camera. Bear of the North, King of the East, China. Don't tell me the Lord ain't coming. So I think we're right here. As soon as that happens, the Lord's going to descend from heaven. We'll read about it next week, hopefully. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. The Lord's going to descend. Here we go. We're going to go meet him in the air. Saved people. Only saved people from this to here. Y'all see that right there? Only saved people will go up right here. Nobody here. Nobody here. Just from here to here. Well, only saved people called the body of Christ will go up right here. Then we will stand about right there. For 2 Corinthians 5:10, Paul wrote this too. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. Judgment seat of Christ, belonging to Christ. You have to belong to Christ to be there. You have to be saved. These is only for saved people. That everyone may receive the things done in his body according to that he hath done, whether it be good or bad. Okay? It's called the judgment seat of Christ. It will happen sometime after the rapture of the church. While this world is going through great tribulation, we will be standing before God, saved people. Okay? Now, where's the other verses? Here they are. 1 Corinthians chapter 3, about verse number 11. For other foundation can no man lay than that which is laid, which is Jesus Christ. That's your foundation. If you're going to go up in the rapture, your foundation must be Jesus Christ. Okay? Now, if any man build upon this foundation, all right, you've got the foundation is Jesus Christ. Now, what else we got to have? We got to have walls. We got to have windows. We got to have doors. We got to have electricity. We've got to have plumbing. We've got to have a roof. How am I doing? No, I'm not even a contractor. Man, I could have done this. Got to have fans. Got to have lights. What are we doing? After you get saved, you're still building. Foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble. There's six things right there. Every man's work shall be made manifest. For the day is going to declare it. Because it shall be revealed by fire. And the fire shall try every man's work of what sort it is. So, all your works, since you've been saved, however long you've been saved. I've been saved for 40 years. Got saved when I was 10 and 50 years old. So I've been saved 40 years. What have I done for Christ in 40 years? All of that. Nothing before. Nothing before. All that's under the blood. Hallelujah. But now, what have I done for Christ for 40 years? It's either gold, silver, precious stones, or it's wood, hay, stubble. If you put gold, silver, precious stones in fire, it's going to be revealed by fire. So God's going to put my work, Christian work, in fire. And then he's going to pull it out. Gold, silver, precious stones. If it's gold, silver, precious stones, it's going to come out as gold, silver, precious stones. If it goes in as wood, hay, stubble, that stuff that maybe your work, yeah, you've done a few things, but of what sort it was, and it just was wood, hay, stubble. You really haven't done much for the Lord since you've been saved. You ain't talked about nobody to the Lord. You ain't invited nobody to church, hadn't read your Bible, and you just really hadn't done a whole lot since you've been saved. Well, that'd be a good sermon on a Sunday morning. Wood, hay, stubble. What are you going to have? Ashes. All right? If any man's work abide, in other words, survives, which he hath built thereon, he shall receive a what? A reward. Okay? All right? Let's find out what the other side of the coin. If any man's work shall be burned, wood, hay, stubble, he shall suffer loss. Pause. Loss of what? Context. If any man's... Hallelujah. If any man's... I almost lost a reward right then. If any man's work abide, makes it through, that he built there, he shall receive a what? Obviously, if it don't abide, you're going to suffer loss of what? Reward. Okay. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss, but he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. You say, who's it a good example of somebody that was saved, yet so as by fire? His name was Lot. Y'all remember Lot in the Old Testament? Lot, God said, Lot, you better get out of there. There's men wearing men and women marrying women and men dressing up as women and women dressing up as men. And I want you out of that city because I'm fixing to burn it down. Yeah, I said it. I'm fixing to burn the place down. Get you and your family, get out. Well, Lot's wife and the kids, they wanted to hang around because they was, you know, in the community. They was the upper crust. They was involved in the city council and all of that. They got out with the shirts on their back. And the whole place turned, and God said, don't you turn around. And Lot's wife turned around and turned to a pillar of salt. And they were saved, yet so as by fire. Had a discussion a few Wednesday nights ago about, what can a Christian lose? What can you lose? You can lose rewards. You can lose your testimony. You can lose your joy. But my salvation is secure right here. God judged me right here as a sinner. Right now, y'all see me right there? He treats me right now as a son. Right here, I'll be tried as a servant. I was tried as a sinner. Right now, he treats me as a son. Y'all ought to be getting happy about that. And I'll be tried as a servant. If any man's work shall be burned, he shall suffer loss of reward. But he himself shall be saved, yet so as by fire. That means there's going to be people that get to heaven and won't have nothing when they get there. You say, how in the world is that possible? I'm fixing to tell you. All right. Here's the five crowns you can receive. The reason I bring it up is because it's found, the first one, crown of rejoicing. We just read about it. 1 Thessalonians 2, verse 19. Paul says, ye are our, Paul, Timothy, Silas, you are our crown of rejoicing. What does that mean? So crown of rejoicing is for the soul winner's crown. People that lead people to the Lord. Everybody you lead to the Lord. Have you ever heard this said? Maybe you have, maybe you haven't. But somebody leads somebody to the Lord. And let's just say, I led somebody to the Lord. And they would say, Brother Jeremy is my spiritual daddy. Because I led them to the Lord. They're my crown of rejoicing. They're my fruit that I picked. You see. I get credit in heaven for leading people to the Lord. Crown of rejoicing. Second one is the crown of life. Let's see. It is found in James chapter 1 and verse number 12. Here it is. Blessed is the man that endureth temptation. Sounds like something about right here. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. Now, here in the tribulation period, which I'm not going to be around for, in the tribulation, there are going to be people that are going to die as martyrs. They won't accept the mark of the beast. They'll have their head cut off at the guillotine. Matter of fact, they're bringing that back, if you hadn't seen that already. They're already chopping people's heads off over in the Middle East. We thought when I read that, I said, you know, in the Revelation, it says they're going to be beheaded. I'm like, that's outdated. We don't do that no more. And then I watch television and they're bringing it back. And that's all. Don't take the mark of the beast. And they say, you either take the mark of the beast or we're supposed to kill you right here. We're going to kill your wife sitting right here while you watch. And in tribulation, they'll say, I will not reject Christ. I will not accept that mark of the beast. Boom. Guess what? They get a crown of life. A martyr's crown. Now you say, is there any other? Now, possibly, I don't know, but possibly. Even in this time period. You know, like the school shootings. I've heard testimony after testimony about the school shootings and people coming in there with guns and these, what was it, the Columbine shooting. They come in, old girl was up under a desk and they stuck that gun on her and said, you know, denounce Jesus Christ. She said, I will not. And they shot her. Now, possibly, may get a martyr's crown for that. Even in this age. I hope the Lord comes before we have to experience that in this church. When they march in the, you know, the government marches in the You say, ah, oh, Brother Jeremy, hide and watch. If the Lord tarries, they're coming. That's why they want your gun, so you can't fight back. Church, wake up. You better listen to me. That's why they're trying to take our guns, Second Amendment. They can't march in here in the country in Millsfield because they're watching right now, and they know there's probably 10 or 12 guns in here right now. But then they take your gun, and they voted in, and now we can come in and take over. Watch and see. Y'all look at me like I'm crazy. Keep watching The Bachelor and American Idol and stop reading your Bible and watch what happens. Y'all fixing to make me upset now. Where was I? Oh, Crown of Life. Now, here's the other one. 1 Peter 5 and verse 4. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, that's him, Jesus Christ, the chief shepherd shall appear, shepherds capitalized, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. Now you say, what is that? That's the shepherd's crown. That is a pastor's crown. That is, y'all ever heard, I've said it, I know you probably heard other people say, when I preach on Sunday, when I'm preaching tonight or teaching tonight, everything I tell y'all, this is how serious this is. Everything that I preach to y'all and tell y'all, I will give an account up here for what I told y'all. If it's right or if it's wrong, if I told you right, that's why this is serious. Because I'm going to have to give an account. Why did you tell them people that? Why did you tell them people that the Bible has mistakes in it? Why did you tell them that? Lord, I hadn't. I ain't never. My daddy would kill me if I'd have said that. You know. I know I'm not guilty of that. So maybe I might get that one. I don't know. Here's another one, 2 Timothy 4 and verse 8. Henceforth, there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day. Give me at that day. And not to me only, but unto all of them also that love his appearing. There are people that are looking for the Lord to come. Now, I'm not talking about wake up every morning, get your cup of coffee, go out on the front porch and just look at the clouds and, you know, and just gaze up in the clouds and, you know, I'm sitting here getting my reward because I'm looking for the Lord to come. Mm-mm. If you're looking for the Lord to come, you can tell it by the way you live. Let me say it again. If you are actually looking for the Lord to come, you'll be able to tell it by the way you live. My daddy went off and he'd go preach revival and he said, Jeremy, when I get back, I want this list of stuff. I need the yard mowed. I need this done and I want this done and this done. Well, I knew he wasn't going to be home till Friday. Revival didn't end till Friday. Sometime he'd drive back or maybe he'd wait till Saturday. So I might have till Saturday to wait and get all this stuff done. Yeah, he's coming. But I didn't believe he's coming on Wednesday. I didn't believe he was coming on Thursday. You ever wondered why the Lord hadn't ever told us the day he's coming? That's why. If I knew the day the Lord was coming, 3 months before the Lord would come, I'd buy $1 million house, 3 Cadillacs, and never make the first payment. Hallelujah. I would. He knows I would. That's why you don't tell me when he's coming. Here's the other one, last one. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 25. And every man that striveth for the mastery is tempted in all things. Now they do it to obtain a corruptible crown, but we an incorruptible crown. I therefore so run. Not as uncertainty, so fight I, not as one that beateth the air, but I keep under my body and bring in this rejection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Bringing your body under subjection. How well do you have your body under subjection? Here's a crown for that. It's an incorruptible crown, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give us at that day, and so on and so forth. There they are again. If you didn't have time to write them down, there they are. We just showed you the verses. The incorruptible crown is how well you've run the race. How well have you run the Christian race? How well has it been? And those are five crowns. You get all five? I don't know. I hope I can get a couple. Because what's going to happen, and I don't have the verses, but I'll tell you what it says. You can look it up later. But in Revelation chapter number 4, when we get there, after the judgment seat of Christ. Now, you're thinking, well, what are we going to do with all these crowns sitting on our head? Walk through heaven and, you know, I got five. You only got four. You only got three. I did better than you. No, that's not what it's for. Revelation chapter 4 says, we're going to lay them at his feet. I want something to be able to give him. You imagine at Christmas time when you got all and everybody's giving presents away and you ain't got nothing to give to people you love. You're sitting there and everybody's passing gifts out and there's people sitting in the room you love and want to give them something, but you ain't got nothing to give them. Don't we love the Lord? We should want to give him something. I'm not teaching the Bible tonight so I can get saved. I'm already saved. I'm teaching and trying to work, not to get to heaven, but so I'll have something when I get there to give back to him. You say, preacher, can you explain it a little better? I'm going to try. I said this before, and Linda and Jamie's here, and it's a true story, actually. I was born in 1973. Hallelujah. There's 12 years between me and Diane, the next one. They say the best for last. I was a blessing, I'm telling you. A surprise and a blessing. Say amen, Jamie. Anyway, all right. I became a member of the Ballinger family at birth. Nothing has been able to change that. Every time I go to the doctor, they take blood. Matter of fact, I went a couple weeks ago. They took blood. They said, your cholesterol's a little high. And all of that kind of stuff. I said, I can do it. I can do it by myself. Give me 3 months. So I'm gonna try to get it down myself. So y'all need to hide them Reese's peanut butter cups. Anyway. But that blood runs all the way back to my daddy. Me and my daddy hadn't always got along. We ain't always agreed. Matter of fact, there's some stuff we didn't agree on. You know what he did? He didn't kick me out of the house. I'm still a Ballinger. But then I'd call him and say, Dad, you know what? You was right on that. He said, oh, yeah, I know. And the fellowship. See, the fellowship sometimes can be over here, but then it sometimes can be over here. But I'm still a son. Y'all see that? I'm stressing this for a reason. Before we go. Now, after he passed away, there was a will. Hallelujah. I still don't know what's in there yet, but anyway. Somebody had the bright idea to, you know, wait till my mom passed, you know, before we get everything. I want mine now. Anyway, so he has a will that lays out what everybody's getting. What all the kids is getting. And this is fun. This is the funny part because it's true. The first will that he did, John Palmer did it downtown. And Dad, I'm Jeremy Wayne. Dalton is Jeremy Dalton. So he had Linda, and then he had Debbie, my sister, and then Jamie, and then he had Diane, and he had Jeremy Dalton. I got left out of the will. True story. He got confused. He put Jeremy Dalton in the wheel. Question. I got rolled out of the wheel. I wasn't going to get nothing. Question. Am I still his son? Very important to get this right here. I hope you're listening. Now, they went back and fixed that. Okay? They went back and fixed it. But people say, well, what about so-and-so? And they, you know, hey, there are some. A son, a daughter. It doesn't leave the ladies out at all. Son or daughter. Your inheritance is based upon what you have done for Christ. Not your salvation. My salvation is secure here. So when I get here, it's when the reading of the will takes place. And I find out my inheritance. Now I gotta quit. I was going to get to chapter 3, but obviously I'm not. Think about this before we go. There is no money in heaven. Okay? They walk on gold up there. They fill potholes with gold up there. So that's really not, you know, what we deem very precious down here, up there, they drive on it. So think about your inheritance. Better than money and better than gold. I can't explain it all. I don't know what all is engulfed in that inheritance. But there is a big difference in salvation and rewards. And people need to get that straight. Paul says, everybody that I led to the Lord, you are my crown of rejoicing. You're my hope, my joy, my crown of rejoicing when I get there. Amen.